Well, let me just pray before we turn to the Word. Father, we want to thank you for your Word, and we just ask this morning that you will give life to this Word, that it will be broken and imparted to our hearts and minds, that we might receive from you what you have for us this morning, that as a body of Christ, as part of the body of Christ, as individuals within that body, we might be built up and strengthened in the faith. Would you help us now, we pray. Amen. Well, for those who haven't been here for the last month or so, we've been working our way through 2 Peter 1. And we're up to in this list of qualities that we're encouraged to add to our faith. And we're on brotherly love or brotherly kindness this morning. So let's read again. Let's read from verse 1 again. And we'll probably read to verse 7 or 8. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. For this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ will be supplied to you. So as I said, we're up to this next quality, if you like, that we're encouraged to add to our faith. Because it's in the adding of these things that we become effective in our Christian lives. That the Lord wants us not just to be spectators, if you like. He wants us to be involved in his purposes and be fruitful in our Christian lives. But that can't happen if we don't add these things as we're encouraged to. And we're on this particular one this morning, brotherly love. What does that mean, brotherly kindness? Well, it occurs 6 times in the scriptures, this word. 3 times it means brotherly love. Twice it's translated as brotherly kindness. And once it's translated love for the brethren. The Greek word itself is made up of 2 parts. It's philia and delphia. Not the place in America. I'm sure that's something to do with it. I don't know. But philia is the word for love. And the delphia is brethren. So it's love of the brethren. It's to do with a tender affection. There's a real warmth implied here. There's a kindness that is to be in evidence in the body of Christ that will so bear testimony to what God is doing amongst his people. As part of that one family of Christ, those who are born again of the Spirit of God. Because as we exercise brotherly kindness, as we add brotherly kindness to all these other qualities, so there'll be a testimony to who our God is, as our Father. To something of his qualities. Because we can't work up these things either. Brotherly kindness isn't something I'm going to wake up one morning, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to add this morning. Because I really feel I want to do that. We need to be walking with the Lord. We need to be born again, first of all. This is a brotherly love. It's for brethren, those who are of Christ, those who are born again. And it's something that God adds and gives to us as we walk with him. And we'll look at one or two more of those things in a second. Some of the questions we'll be looking at. How do we show brotherly love? What are the qualities that are involved? How do I add this? Why is it so important? Maybe other things I answer as well. Because I haven't thought about the questions yet even. But we'll go through these passages one at a time. 5 passages. Although we just looked at the one. 4 other passages we're going to look at. And look at this brotherly love that the Lord wants us to exercise and have in our hearts to one to another. Well, could you turn with me to 1 Peter 1, just back a couple of pages. And verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, that's the same word again, brotherly kindness, brotherly love, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is the living and enduring word of God. So again, that we're encouraged here to show that sincere love of the brethren. That's the first quality I want to bring out this morning. It's to be sincere. It's to be real, genuine. Not to be showy. Not to put something on because others are looking, perhaps. And we all have a tendency to want to do that, don't we? It's something the Pharisees did. They did everything for show. And the Lord had very severe words for them, didn't he? And go and look it up yourself. But he said to them, you receive your reward in full. There's nothing more for you. What you get in this life is all you've got, because there's no genuineness about your faith. In fact, that word sincerely literally means unhypocritical. Unhypocritical. And that so summed up the attitude of many of the Pharisees in the day of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord says in Luke 12 verse 1 about hypocrisy, about that lack of genuineness, it's leaven. He calls the Pharisees, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees was regarded as leaven in Luke 12, I think it's verse 1, certainly Luke 12. And there's something about that, isn't it, that it can spread. Leaven is something that spreads. It's something that's not good in Scripture. And we need to guard against that insincerity in this area, because it can so easily spread, if you like. And it's not good for the body. So we need to guard against that. Let's let our brotherly love be sincere, friends. Genuine. And that can be so as the Lord gets a hold of us. We may think to ourselves, well, I don't feel much tenderly affection for so and so. Well, okay. You might not feel much tenderly affection for me. But, friends, the command of the Lord is we're to show brotherly love for one another. And the Lord can do the work. You know, all you have to do is die to self and allow the Lord to work through you. He can work this brotherly love in you and through you. It's not something you need to sort of work up with all of your might. You'll never do it. He is the one. You see, the Father wants to give us his heart for his family. It's his family. His sons and daughters we are this morning. And it's him that wants to put that in us, that love for the brethren, that sincere love for the brethren, that's to be part of our walk with God, that's to be added to our faith, that will make us more effective in our walk with God. And just think about that. If we go through all that list of those qualities there, and brotherly love was left out. Well, let's go back and look. Godliness was the one we looked at last week, that piety. In verse 5 and 6, that moral excellence, that knowledge, the knowledge of God and his ways, that self-control, that perseverance, that godliness. But then if we missed out brotherly love, see, the outworking of many of these things is within the family of God. And we need to see that. People need to see that. So there's a testimony to what God is doing amongst us. And if that wasn't there, then who's to know whether God is really putting these things in us? Do you remember that church of Ephesus in Revelation? That was a really good church in so many ways. The first church that's mentioned in that chapter 2. They were applauded by God for many things. Their perseverance, their holding fast to the word and to doing many things. But God says, you've left your first love. You see, without brotherly love amongst us, many of these things really become harsh. They can become harsh and don't have the effect in our lives that God wants them to have. I would say they could be stifled. If the brotherly love isn't there, isn't in us, if you like, and part of things we're adding to our faith, then these other qualities become limited, even stifled by that lack of brotherly love. So back to 1 Peter 1 verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purify yourselves for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another. Now that word love there is the agape love, not the filial love. And Max is going to speak on that next week. But it's all connected, isn't it? There's to be a fervency in the way we show our love for the brethren. There's an earnestness. That word can be translated earnest, intensely. There's to be something of real passion about it. We don't love our brothers and our sisters with an intenseness, with an earnestness, with a fervency. Our heart is to be engaged here. This isn't something that's sort of an academic thing. This is something where our hearts are engaged. And we need to allow the Lord to get a hold of our hearts so this can happen. Unless the Lord has free reign in our lives, unless the Lord can get a hold of our hearts as he wants to, then we will sorely limit him in what he wants to do in this area. And I speak to myself as much as anybody else this morning. The Lord wants to get a hold of our hearts. And then back in that passage, it mentions something else even before it says the sincere love of the brethren. It talks about purification. It says, therefore, you have been born again. And again, if you're not born again this morning, friends, you cannot know that brotherly love one for another. But for you have been born again, not of seed, beg your pardon, verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls, there needs to be a purification. A removing of things from our souls, that's the seat of our emotions, our desires, our will. Those things that can stop us receiving and having that brotherly love one for another. And do you know what the biggest obstacle is to brotherly love? Itself. Itself, and it's also our fleshly desires, but particularly self. Just think of the first brothers in Scripture, Cain and Abel. Or how the Lord wanted brotherly love to exist there. And it may have done so for a while. But then one of them, Cain, was so full of self, self-pity. For one thing, self-elevation perhaps, self-will. All these things that we're told by the world are so important that we've got to esteem. Well, friends, the Lord has one way for the self-life, and that is death. He wants to live his life through you and for me. That's the Christian life, not me trying to improve myself. Self has nothing to do with the Christian life. It needs to be put to death so the Lord can live his life through us. And see, Cain never grasped that, and it resulted in the murder of Abel. What a travesty that was. Here was the outworking of a man so full of himself, so full of self-love, if you like, self-pity, certainly. As we see when God told him, you've got to master this sin. Sin is crouching at your door, waiting to master you. And all he could do was feel hurt and aggrieved and not take on the word of God. Take it to heart. His self was hurt. And instead of putting it down and mastering it, he allowed it to breed such hatred for his brother that led to the death of his brother. So friends, let's watch that self, because it is something that can so be, I would say, the biggest obstacle to brotherly love in the body of Christ is self. And turn to James with me, we'll see something of that. Although it talks mainly of the outworking of these things through the flesh. Here's James 4, actually. James 4. You see, when brotherly love isn't in evidence, an operation in the body, what do we get? Well, let's have a look here. James 4 tells us, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have. In other words, you desire earnestly something for yourself, and you don't get your way. You don't get what you want. Instead of laying it down. And it may be that what you want is good. But okay, let God deal with it. Lay it down. The Lord is well able to bring it into fruition if it's his will. You haven't got to exert your own self-effort and try and bring it about because you're so convinced this is right. Lay it down, friends. Let the Lord deal with it. You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain. You see, Cain was envious, wasn't he? So envious of Abel. That's another outworking of self, if you like. And of those fleshly lusts. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. So you can spend it on your pleasures, on yourself. Oh friends, it's the curse, can I say that reverently, of the church. The self-life. It's the one thing that mars so much of what God wants to do in his body. That unwillingness to put self on the cross and to leave it there and not take it back up. It's always a temptation, isn't it, to take it back up. Just leave it there, friends. There's only one place for it. If God's purposes are to be fulfilled in your life, in the life of the body, it has to be left there. It is the biggest obstacle to brotherly love in the body. And Ephesians 4, just for the sake of time, I'll just give you the verses. Ephesians 4:22 and Colossians 3, verse 9, talks about putting aside the old self and putting on the new self. Praise be to God. It's not just a matter of laying aside the old self and that's it. If that was all there was to the Christian life, then friend, I'm out through the door now. There's much more. We're to take on the new self, clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ, filled by his Spirit, walking according to his will and his purpose. Him outworking in me and you his will and his purpose. That is what God wants. Putting aside the old self, taking the new self, clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If that was happening, there will be brotherly love in the body, because the Lord Jesus is our brother. Isn't that marvellous? What a thought that the Son of God calls us his brothers and sisters. Well, praise be to him. So let's deal with that. And friends, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have our supreme example, don't we? The one who knew exactly how to behave in this way towards his disciples, his brothers. Well, let's move on. Perhaps one more thing. Let's watch for a mix as well. I did note down here. Watch for a mix. You know, we can sometimes mix that new life, if you like, that new self with something of the old, and it mars it. Again, it's like that leaven, spoils it. And all the effectiveness that God wants through the way we're living, through that brotherly love that we're showing, is marred and is limited. Well, turn with me to Romans 12, verse 10, please. Romans 12 and verse 10. This is another passage where this is mentioned. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honour. So there's a command here to be devoted to one another. Excuse me, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's the Lord's desire and intention for each one of us. We're to have a devotion to one another. But you see, the devotion has to start with the Lord first. We have to be devoted to him first. There's no way I would be devoted to you or you to me or anyone else in the body if we're not first devoted to Christ. That's where it all comes from. We have to be devoted to him. But then there is this encouragement to be committed to one another, really. To be committed to one another. In brotherly love. The Lord wants to have free reign in us so that he can show that love through us, one to another. And there's a list here in this Romans passage. I do believe some of these are connected with this first statement. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honour. Isn't that marvellous? We're to give preference to one another in honour. Literally, it means this. And I did make a note of it somewhere. It's in this. Got the NASB, it's in the column somewhere. It means, let me look at it in passage, I've been putting it down. It means outdo one another in showing honour. Outdo one another in showing honour. That doesn't mean we have to enter a competition today to see who's going to do the best in showing brotherly love. Okay, because some are very competitive in the body and some might win very easily. Some are not to go back. It's not a competition. It doesn't mean it in that sense. What it really means is this. Don't allow what anybody else has done to be the limit. You know, be prepared to go beyond that. To go beyond that, to outdo that. Not for the sake of competition, but let's allow the Lord to do what He wants. And don't let what anybody else does in brotherly love be a limit for you. Because that's not what we're to do. Nothing you do or I do is to be a limit for anybody else. Allow the Lord to set the limits. He's the one that can show us what we should be doing and how we should be doing it. Don't look to anybody else. Look to the Lord. He is the one that can show us how to show this devotion. That word devotion, actually the word in Greek is, I've got this right, any Greek scholars amongst us, philostroges. I'm not sure that's right. But there's two parts to the word again. Notice the first part of the word, philo, which is love. It actually means philo. It means cherish one's kindred. I like that. To cherish one's kindred. That's what we're to be doing in the church, in the assembly of God. To cherish one another. To regard each one another highly. To have honour one for another. To have that brotherly love. To cherish. Also means literally kindly, affectionate. Just don't be harsh towards one. We can so easily be harsh, can't we? That's not a quality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He was firm when He had to be firm. But He was never harsh. We need to be gentle. But firm when we need to be. But certainly affectionate in a warm way. So let's watch our tongues especially in that respect. Because our tongues can so often let us down, can't they? I speak as one who is speaking from experience. Our tongues can let us down so quickly and so easily. They need to be reined in. And we need to be watch how we speak to our brethren. Let's not be harsh and hurtful. Let's be careful how we do that. Let's do it tenderly, gently, but firmly when necessary. Okay, and that word... So the second part of the word means kindly affectionate, that's what I meant to say. But that word occurs many times in Scripture, but 35, the majority of times, the vast majority in fact, means, where are we? Where am I writing here? Anyway, 35 times it means to honour. Ah, it's honour, yes, can't remember writing. I think I've written it the American way, so I'll leave it. It means honour. But actually, one occasion it means to, or precious. That's how we do regard each other, aren't we? You see, the Lord Jesus regards you and me as precious. I find that hard to believe sometimes. They're not very precious. But the Lord regards us as precious. And He wants us to regard one another as precious. And therefore deal appropriately with one another. In brotherly love, with brotherly kindness. And you see, when we have His heart for one for another, that will be possible. If we're not allowing Him to give us His heart in this matter, then it'll be very difficult to show brotherly love to someone who gets on our nerves all the time. Someone who perhaps winds us up. Well, friends, let's allow the Lord to get a hold of our heart. Be willing. You haven't got to work it up yourself. Let's allow the Lord. Let's say, Lord, I want to show love to this brother. I want to show kindness, help me to do it. I'm willing for it. Go and do it. He'll help you. I've been learning that passage in Isaiah 40. The Lord gives strength to the weary. He gives strength. He gives ability. He enables when all our ability is not enough. And never will be. He gives the ability. Okay, moving on. Two more passages quickly to look at. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Again, lots of these things are not taken out of context in a sense. They're all sort of parts of little commands that the Lord is giving. So reading the previous verses and the ones after won't enlarge on this too much, but feel free to read them yourself at another time. But verse 1 of 13, let love of the brethren continue. Let that brotherly love continue. Let's ensure that nothing gets in the way. We may have started well, But there's so many things that can trip us up, aren't there? So many things that can get in the way and stop us showing that love one for another. I haven't got to list them all, but I'm sure if you could think of many. There are many things that can stop us, cause that brotherly love to wane. We get weary. And again, the Lord's able to strengthen the weary. Those who hope in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, those who wait for the Lord, will renew their strength. He gives strength to the weary. That's what the Lord is part of his, what he wants to do for all his people. To strengthen those who are weary. Even in this whole area of showing brotherly love, when it's quite hard to continue doing it for a particular individual, maybe. Well, let's look to the Lord. It may be right to stop doing something. I'm not saying that, but let's be careful not to allow anything to cause us to neglect what the Lord is wanting to do through us. Let's be careful of that. So Hebrews 13 verse 1. Let love of the brethren continue. Don't let anything cause us to neglect this area. Let's not be taken up by our own cares and concerns. That's another way that the enemy wants to distract us, isn't it? You know, we get so taken up by our own genuine concerns, genuine cares, but they become overwhelming almost. And they prevent us from seeing the needs of others. We need to be careful, friends. Let's allow the Lord to, again, keep our own circumstances in perspective and not let them so overwhelm us that we're not able to continue showing loving our brotherly love to our brethren. Okay, and one further passage, 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, we looked at James and we looked at Revelation Church, but here is a church that was doing what they should be doing. They were showing brotherly love one to another, and they were commended for it. So let's look at this verse 9 and 10. Now, as to love of the brethren, that brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. The Lord's never happy for us just to stay at a certain level. He wants us to experience everything that he has for us and move higher with him in these things. To go adding more brotherly love. Because it's in that we see more of him. We experience more of the Lord. And we know him in a more wonderful way. So the encouragement was here to the Thessalonians who were doing well, was to excel still more. Paul saying to them, really, I don't need to write you about this. What you're doing is very good. But excel still more. Excel still more. And did you note about what Paul said to them here in the verse 9? Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God. Isn't that marvellous? That is the Christian life. God wants to teach us on a one-to-one basis. That's marvellous, I think, that we can know that personalised teaching one-to-one of the Lord. Yes, we know it as a corporate body, but the Lord wants you and me to know how to show brotherly love to this one and that one. And he can show us. He can teach us how to do that. He wants to teach us. So let's make sure we don't neglect our times with the Lord. You see, it's not sufficient just to come on a Sunday and listen to what the preacher's saying. We need to know what the Lord is saying to me personally, in my day-to-day walk with the Lord. Let's guard also against listening to our favourite preacher, whoever that is, and getting all his CDs and his tapes and listening to them. Because that preacher doesn't know you. The Lord knows you inside out. He knows how to teach you. He knows when to discipline you. He knows what you need to know. That preacher that you listen to does not know you. He may have some good things to give you tips about and teach you about, but it would be so limited. So limited. You see, the Lord has a teaching for us that will cause there to be a fullness about our Christian life. Every area, this whole area of brotherly love, with all the other areas that's lacking in our lives, the Lord is able to put a finger on He's able to teach us, instruct us, show us the way we to go, but then he will give us the ability to do it. Now, your favorite preacher can't do that. He might be able to put his finger on something, but he isn't going to come alongside you and give you the strength to do it. But the Lord is able to do it. He will show you. He will teach you. He will instruct you. And what a commendation for the church here in Thessalonica, whatever it is. The Lord wants to do the same for us. He wants to teach us corporately, individually. See, when as individuals we are receiving of the Lord and being taught by him, then the body operates rightly. Because not one part is underplaying, can we say, their part. Everybody's contributing in the right way. Especially in this whole area of brotherly love. Well, let's make sure we excel in this then, friends. Well, just to conclude, this isn't something, friends, that we are to try and work up in our own effort. This is something that comes out of that relationship with the Lord Jesus. That day-to-day walking with him. He wants to teach us. He wants to instruct us. He wants to give us his heart for his family. Because we are his family. We have a heavenly Father who wants us to show his love for our brothers and sisters. And as much as you might struggle to do that, that is not the point. It's not the point. As much as you might feel aggrieved by somebody or offended by somebody perhaps in the body, put it aside, let it go, put self to death, and allow the Lord to get a hold of your heart and commit yourself. And I commit myself as well, speaking to myself as much as anybody, commit ourselves to showing that brotherly love and adding more of it so that these qualities might have an outworking in the body and that there might be such a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think one of the things they said about the early church, wasn't it? See how they love one another. See how they love one another. Well, sure, that hasn't changed. That should have been and should be the testimony for the church down the ages, to speak to those around where we're seeing increasing self-centeredness and selfishness and looking after our own ends. And we're encouraged to do that in this day and age, aren't we? You know, we've got to express ourselves. We've got to look after number one. We've got to promote ourselves and do this and that. Well, the Lord's way is a different way. But it's a way that will bring much honour to him, much glory to him, and a building up of his church and making us effective and fruitful in all that he calls us to. Let's pray.